Hello, Saints. Todd here with SafeguardYourSoul.com. Thank you so much for tuning in. We are so blessed to have these moments together in the Word of God. And remember, Saints, there's nothing happening on God's planet that is even remotely as important as the work of the gospel and feeding the sheep of Jesus Christ, for whom He died to save, so that they can grow in grace, they can be edified, they can be equipped for the work of the ministry according to the scriptures. And let me just guarantee you this one thing: by the grace of God, this outreach will continue to unapologetically endeavor to preach the whole of the Word of God, regardless of who gets offended or not, in Jesus' name. And please remember that your prayers and support are vital to this operation. Thank you.
Exalt Christ and glorify you. Lead Brother Todd as he seeks to impart what you've placed on his heart to us, Lord. And may we devour it, cherish it, and listen to the direction that you give to us, that we may be diligent in doing them. Father, we thank you for these things in Christ's name, I pray.
Thank you, Jesus. Amen. We're in a theme, but we're talking about 1 Corinthians 2. I believe it's verse 13 and 14 here, and we're going to chapter a little bit of it, because biblical interpretation is so important. Notice in verse 13, which things also we speak, that is the mysteries of the kingdom, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth. Mm-hmm. Notice comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Now, this is a verse we need to chew on for the rest of our life. 1 Corinthians 2:13, if you're a studious disciple and you're taking notes, note this passage here, 1 Corinthians 2:13 and 14 especially. We compare spiritual things with spiritual. If you look that up in the Greek, we compound. Compare in the Greek means compound, collate, or put together spiritual things with spiritual. So we not only need to take note of the immediate context of anything we're reading in the Bible, but the whole of Scripture, what it says on that topic. And if you think you're seeing ABC in an immediate passage that you're studying, and yet what you think you're seeing, ABC, that is, violates known truth stated clearly throughout Scripture, then you know that you're not seeing ABC, you're not seeing that immediate text correctly. Jesus said that the scribe of the kingdom, I would like to think that's all of us, takes from the old and from the new and puts it together. 13:52, Matthew chapter 13, verse 52. Matthew 13:52 says, this is Jesus speaking. Then said he unto them, therefore every scribe which is instructed unto the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is an householder or a house owner, which bringeth forth out of his treasure things new and old. New and old. We've got an Old and a New Testament, 66 glorious books of the Bible that we have available in the knowledge of God. God has limited his revelation to man in Holy Scripture, the Bible, the 66 books. I love Proverbs 18:1, which is completely corrupted, as the author of the new versions would have it to be, Satan. The King James says, through desire, a man having separated himself, seeketh and intermeddleth with all wisdom. I love that. That's a great memory verse. Through desire. Do you have a desire for the Word of God? You see, the Lord, when He saved us, He gave us a great desire. We need to obey that desire by reading. Blessed is he that readeth God's Word, Revelation 1:3, because God's Word becomes your spiritual food once you're born again. Also, Peter wrote, desire as newborn babes, desire the sincere or the pure milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby. Paul wrote, 2 Timothy 2, verse 15, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now, in Isaiah, on this subject, Isaiah chapter 28, verse 9, and 10, we read these glorious words of Holy Scripture. Whom shall he teach knowledge? That's a question. And whom shall he make to understand doctrine? We're going to read tonight in Ephesians 1 in the prayer of Paul about understanding. God wants us to understand the inheritance of the saints in light, the inheritance that we have in Christ. I don't believe we'll ever fully understand it, but obviously God wants us to understand it. And that's going to be evidenced in the prayer of Paul. Isaiah 28:9-10. Whom shall he teach knowledge, and whom shall he make to understand doctrine? If you don't think doctrine's important, consider that it appears 51 times in the Bible. And when I say Bible, I mean the King James Bible when I'm talking to the English people, not these corruptions that are false, satanically corrupted Bible versions. Please get a King James Bible, saints. Let's all read, study, and preach and speak the King James Bible, the real preserved Word of God, which he promised to do in Psalm 12, verse 6 and 7, to preserve his Word to every generation. In our language, that's the King James Bible. Very obviously, anyone who's got a heart after truth is an honest person. It does a little bit of comparison. Lots of good stuff on safeguardyoursoul.com on this topic. Bible versions issue is the category. So he asks rhetorically, who is God going to be able to teach knowledge to and to give understanding to in the doctrines of the Lord? Them that are weaned from the milk. There you go. Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breasts. Now that represents a babe in Christ. And as a babe in Christ, Peter writes, as David quoted, Peter writes, that we're to desire the sincere milk of the Word, that we may grow thereby. And notice here, when we're weaned from the milk or the elementary truths of Scripture, the foundational truths of Scripture, then we're going to be able to go deeper in understanding and knowledge, the knowledge of God through the doctrines of God taught to the honest-hearted, born-again believer by the Holy Spirit. Weaned from the milk, drawn from the breast. You know, when a child gets to be several months old and no longer drink milk, but they're not limited to it, and then they graduate to harder substances, more substantial food items. All right, verse 10, Isaiah 28, for precept must be upon precept. See, here's the same principle we see Paul talking about in 1 Corinthians 2:13-14, verse 13, where he's saying comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Those spiritual things are specifically the Holy Scriptures, whereby we have all things that pertain unto life and godliness. They're in the Holy Scriptures. That's what the Apostle Peter tells us specifically, that in the exceeding great and precious promises of the Lord, we have all, not some, but all things that pertain unto life and godliness. God didn't leave anything out, at least in the governing principle form. So, for precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little and there a little. Notice, precept upon precept, line upon line. That's a very important term to have as a working knowledge and a standard of interpretation. We are to compare spiritual things with spiritual. Something you're reading in an immediate text may appear to say one thing, but as you study the whole of Scripture, you may find a different picture emerges. Anybody else ever found that, right? You know, you hear a lot of old wives' fables that, you know, what are some of those? Throw some out there. Well, money's the root of all evil, boy. No, Bible says the love of money is the root of all evil, right? That's an obvious one. How about, you know, cleanliness is next to godliness? Well, that's nowhere in the Scriptures. So it's eliminated as something we should, you know, we need to let God speak for himself.
God helps those who help themselves.
Let's say that one again.
God helps those who help themselves, not.
More like God helps those and blesses those that fall upon his mercy, admitting that they're a wretched, wicked sinner, unworthy of and the slightest of his mercies. Genesis chapter 32, verse 10. In fact, that might fit right in here, as would be typical of the Holy Spirit to weave things together as we prayerfully navigate through his word. Notice Genesis 32:10. I am not worthy of the least of all the mercies and of all the truth. Oh, there it is. We're not worthy in and of ourselves of the mercies and what else? And of all the truth. That's the Bible. Jesus said to the Father as he prayed in John 17:17, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. So whenever the question of what is truth comes up, we know that that's the Holy Scriptures. It's equivalent. It's the interchangeable terms, the Word of God, the Word of the cross, the Word of His grace, the judgments, the precepts, the truth of God, or many things that the Bible calls God's Word, which is the standard for all that pertains to those who will follow Christ in doctrine and practice of the Christian faith. Notice, I am not worthy of the least of all the mercies and of the truth which thou hast shown unto thy servant. For with my staff I passed over the Jordan, and now I am become two bands. So Jacob is a very humble servant here. Being in Bible college, and others of us have been, like Paul, we repented and denounced it, Philippians 3. But you know, you seldom find, I've got to point this out here, I'd like to, you rarely find men who are very knowledgeable of the Word of God. I say rarely, maybe I shouldn't be so extreme, but that are also humble. And that's what we see here in this heart of flesh that Jacob's speaking from. Whatever we have, we better have humility. The Bible says knowledge puffs up, but charity edifies. That is 1 Corinthians 8:1. Also remember Jesus said, except ye be converted, you got to first be converted, got to be born again, and become as little children, dependent humbly on the Lord. That means you're teachable. You shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Wow. Blessed are the poor in spirit, right? For theirs is the kingdom of heaven.
Well, it's not just a prayer.
Hey, like your Bible study yesterday morning. It's a full-blown open course fellowship here, as usual. Trying to get you guys to speak. Got a lot of mouses in here tonight. Verse 14, what's that say? Maybe I can get somebody to read verse 14. 1 Corinthians 2:14, what's that say? The next verse in our little passage here.
The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Should I go on?
Read that again.
But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned.
You have to know the author of Scripture in order to understand Scripture, right? In fact, in Mark 4:11, Jesus tells us that he is going to hide his kingdom truths from the wicked and for the righteous. That's Mark chapter 4, verse 11. Let me read that. So you better turn there in your Bible, too. You make sure I'm not just making this up. That's what a good Berean does. He gets his own eyes on the Word of God. 4:11, Jesus says, this is a parable. He's speaking of the sower who sows the word. And he said unto them, Mark 4:11, unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. But unto them that are without, those outside of the kingdom, even though they might be among us, all these things are done in parables. So he's saying that he's going to hide these truths from those that are not his truly, and preserve them for those who are his. Matthew 11:25. At that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and has revealed them unto babes. You know, this reminds me of the difference between today's seminarians and those that are truly full of the Holy Ghost, having been baptized with the Holy Ghost and full of the Word of God. There is no comparison. The man that knows the Word of God is superior spiritually, I should say. I want to make sure the way that comes out doesn't come out wrong. He, in the fact that he has and is mastering the Word of God, not somebody's commentary or system of falsehood that a lot of people learn in seminary. Notice verse 15, 1 Corinthians 2, but he that is spiritual, that is spiritually mature in the Word of God. That's how it defines it in Hebrews 5, right? Strong meat belongeth to those that are of full age. Hebrews 5:14, and then he chides them, he rebukes them. Remember that? You guys have need that I come back and lay the foundation that you ought to be teaching. That brings up a good point. Who are you, beloved, if you name the name of Christ? And I do mean to stir you up. I don't mean to condemn you. But who are you teaching the Word of God to? Well, brother, I didn't go to seminary. Good. You don't have a lot of stuff to unlearn. Just learn it fresh by reading it and getting that daily bread every day and filling your heart and mind full of the Word of God. Not the pollutions of men, which have corrupted the Word of God for centuries. You know, when I went in the Marine Corps, my brother and I went in together. And when we went to the rifle range, Brother David, being a military veteran, you can understand, I had never taken any interest in shooting rifles growing up. I grew up in Louisiana. The sportsman's paradise is what it's called. Just look at the license plate at the bottom. You know, a lot of sports, a lot of shooting, a lot of, you know, game. You know, everybody's seen swamp people on TV and shoot alligators in the head and pull them into the boat. Duck hunting at 11, we went duck hunting, and I did shoot at 11. I had a 410, remember, little shotguns for a little boy. Anyway, that thing like knocked me off that boat. 4 a.m, we're shooting ducks out there. Delacro Island, it was freezing because it's so humid in there. So when we went to the Marine Corps, my brother and I, we're only 13 months apart. He had taken a lot of interest in shooting rifles. I didn't. I wasn't interested in that. I was interested in sports, you know, motocross, boxing, football, all that. Anyway, he could care less about guns and cars, but he liked those too because everybody's unique. And so we go in there, and lo and behold, I was able to learn afresh because I hadn't learned the wrong way. You see, that's just the point I want to make, just a simple point. When you learn the wrong way, and this goes across the board in things in life, sport, and business, and ministry, Then you have to unlearn. And anybody who's a servant leader in business, sports, coaches, in ministry, servant leadership can tell you that it's a whole lot easier to get somebody saved that hadn't learned all this garbage, this religious garbage in these, you know, in a lot of these churches. Or somebody that, you know, it's easier to teach a humble servant, somebody that's truly born again, that wants to learn as a student of Christ, and somebody who's been to seminary and thinks they know everything. Simple principle. Verse 15, 1 Corinthians 2. So anyway, to make a long story short, in the Marine Corps, at the rifle range, I was able to do really, really good. There's three levels. What is it? Marksman, sharpshooter, and the top level is expert. Anyway, was able to navigate and learn that well because I hadn't learned the wrong way. All right, verse 15. But he that is spiritually mature, judgeth or praises all things, that he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. The spiritual man judges all things. He discerns and appraises them according to the kingdom, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Verse 13. This isn't some spooky thing. It's all grounded in Scripture. Anybody who says they're hearing from the Lord and says something that violates Scriptures is deceived. And hopefully when they're corrected gently and lovingly with Scripture, they will choose to say, I was wrong. Thank you, Lord. Sent a brother a bunch of passages on a discussion we were having the other day on email. He immediately replied, oh, wow, I stand corrected. He let the Word of God correct him. That's why we have the Scriptures. A tangible written Word of God is for what? Four things. 2 Corinthians 3:16. For all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for four things. Doctrine, correction. Anybody letting God correct them? Doctrine, correction, reproof, and instruction in righteousness. One of the things that reproof means is to reprove it. Anybody ever get a little rusty on a revelation? Go back in Scripture and go, that was it. Or you go in there and you look and you say, oh, I'm going to be corrected by this. Okay, before we move back into Ephesians, notice, I love this. This is really key in this topic. Isaiah 7:15. Listen to this. This is in the passage of Jesus, the prophetic utterance, about 700 years, I believe, before Christ was born. Therefore, the Lord himself, we all remember this, verse 14, shall give you a sign. Here it is. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. We see this fulfillment in Matthew 1:23. And notice verse 15 of Jesus. Remember, he confounded the scribes, didn't he, at 12 years old? Because he knew the Scriptures. And by the way, Jesus, we could say, was mocked and belittled because he didn't have letters after his name. I believe that's John 7:17. Notice Isaiah 7:50. Butter and honey shall he eat. Notice the illustration here. Butter and honey shall he eat. That represents the beauty of the Word of God. It speaks of it being like honey, sweeter than honey. In Psalm 119 and some other places, I believe. Butter and honey shall he eat. This is why. That he may know to refuse the evil and choose the good. Discernment. The Bible speaks of discernment. You can become so familiar with the Word of God that when you see something that doesn't line up, you know to refuse it, right? Notice, butter and honey shall he eat, that he may know to refuse the evil and choose the good. A man of knowledge increases strength, the Bible says in Proverbs 24:5. The strength of discernment cannot be overemphasized, especially in this last day when we've been foretold that evil men and seducers are going to wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived, 2 Timothy 3:13. So notice, again, Isaiah 7:15, of Christ, butter and honey shall he eat. That represents the Scriptures, and we know that by his life. Remember when Jesus stood up to preach in Luke 4, he opened the book, the scroll, and found the place it was written. We've got 66 books chapterized. Is that a word? We've got 66 books separated. We've got them, you know, in a beautiful form, you know, in the Bible we have today, where we can all go, okay, turn to Ezekiel chapter 3 or Revelation chapter 1 or whatever together. But Jesus was so familiar with the Scripture, he knew, picture that scroll that had to roll from the top and bottom, you know, this way and this way. And that took some navigation, I would say, a whole lot more difficult than what we have. And he was able to go right to it and find the place where it is written of him. And he took it right out of Isaiah 61 or 60, arise, shine, and it's Luke chapter 4, verse 16 through 18, where Jesus stands up in the Jewish synagogue to read. He referenced, he knew where it was in the Bible. And I believe That's enough evidence that we should learn not only what the scripture says, but where it says, are you becoming, do you name the name of Jesus, yes or no, and are you becoming more familiar with not only what the Bible says, where it is, so that you're able to navigate and help people learn the Word of God. Luke 4:17 at the end of verse 17, he found the place where it was written. That's just real easy to read right over that. But doesn't Peter echo this? He says, be ready always to give an answer. And you and I, as students of Scripture, students of the Lord Jesus Christ, want to give people God's Word. So we let God speak for himself. Notice 1 Peter 4:10. Boy, Peter's getting worn out tonight. Verse 11, it says, if any man speak, that is for the Lord, let him speak as of the oracles of God. When you lay down the road, I remember as a young believer, when I go out and minister on the street, wasn't as familiar as I am now in the scripture. But anyway, I would be real guilty when I go lay down in bed after talking to, 50 or 100 people about the Lord that night out on the streets, because I knew that I was putting things in my own words a little bit more. Although, we had Bibles and tracts and stuff. So there was some scripture there big time, but there was still a little guilt. Anybody know what I'm talking about? You know, when you lay down in bed and all you did was point people to the scripture, it doesn't matter if they got mad. It doesn't matter if they spit on you or kicked you or punched you. You gave them the Word. You're obeying God. Remember, preach the Word. That's it. Well, stop and think about that. Just preach the Word. That means nothing else. And be instant in season and out of season. 2 Timothy 4:2. And when we do that, we lay down in bed and we go, Jesus, please water that Word, because your Word never comes back void. Isaiah 55:11. But it always accomplishes that for which you sent it for. And we thank you for it, Lord. You will sleep like a little baby for many reasons, including a clear conscience, and street ministry will wear you out. And most of us know how that goes in here. So Jesus was so familiar with the real that he could detect the counterfeit. And that's what it's saying here in Isaiah 7:15. Butter and honey shall he eat, that he may know to refuse the evil and choose the good. Discernment is so important. Jesus was so familiar with the scriptures, the butter and honey. And we see that right here in Luke 4:17 when it says, he found the place where it was written. Jesus was resourceful in the scriptures. Anybody argue that? Am I missing something? Pretty obvious. Simple yet profound truth. Notice verse 18. Then he tells of the prophecy of Isaiah right here, fulfilled. The Spirit, the Holy Ghost of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me. To do what? To preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and the recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And that's not our topic, but I dare you to try to read that passage ever and not get excited. That's the Lord's mission right there, statement. So, all right, one more thing before we jump into Ephesians. I said that already before. All right, it's Ezekiel. I believe this Isaiah 7:15 passage is very important for discernment. Do you see that in there? Does the Bible use the word discern and discernment? Yes, it does. Watch here. Ezekiel chapter 44.
And they shall teach my people the difference between the holy and profane, and cause them to discern between the unclean and the clean.
Let's read that again, please.
And they shall teach my people the difference between the holy and profane, and cause them to discern between the unclean and the clean.
So true servants of the Lord do what? They teach discernment, don't they? To divide between the holy and the profane. There is a difference between the holy and the common. That's what the new versions do. They make God's word to be reduced to the common language. That was never the will of God. That alone tells you they're perverted. Notice, speaking of those who will serve the Lord, according to Ezekiel 44:23, which Sister Debbie just read, those who are truly serving the Lord are doing what? They're teaching people to discern between the unclean and the clean, the false doctrine and the true, the holy and the profane. They're rightly dividing the word of truth, and they're exposing the wolves and the false teachings and our teachings in our midst. Notice Jeremiah 3:15. By the way, that's what Jesus and his apostles did all over the New Testament. If you miss that, you're not paying attention. We've got two books that specifically address that issue with Scripture, and it's deceivers and false prophets among us and predators in our pulpits. Your life will never be the same. Your treasury of Scripture knowledge will grow exponentially. That's all these books are for, folks, is to help folks learn the Word of God. They're available on safeguardyoursoul.com. Notice Jeremiah 3:15, and I will give you pastors according to mine own heart. Jesus is the great shepherd of the sheep. Hebrews 13:20. And he's raising up pastors. They usually don't have a building or some wooden pulpit they preach behind. They're just regular people. They're elders among us who study and know the Word of God and walk in the wisdom and the truth and the love and the holy fear of God. And I will give you pastors according to mine own heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. There it is again. Knowledge and understanding. That really kind of really dovetails into Paul's prayer here in Ephesians chapter 1. Listen to this. Let's read beginning in verse 15 of Ephesians 1. This is the prayer, the first of two prayers that are absolutely profound by the Apostle Paul. One is in Ephesians 1, this one right here. And then the other one is in Ephesians 3. Now notice this, Paul's prayer in Ephesians 1, praying biblically, powerfully, and effectively for others and ourselves requires and necessitates that we take those prayers right out of Scripture. It doesn't have to be a prayer in Scripture to pray it. Recently, I find ministering fellowshiping with a lot of brothers, and we were all not all the way whole on the inside, right? Well, because Paul said, pray that you'd be made whole, that the Lord would make you whole. So you get the positional and the practical, right?
Of course. And to be
done. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. And so that's a great prayer. It's for example of praying Scripture. I don't know about you. Sometimes I'm inadequate. There's something missing. I'm not acting correctly in the right in relationships or something. And I've got to just go, Jesus, I'm asking you to make me whole. That's what he came to do. Remember, we just read it, to heal the brokenhearted. That's the prophecy of Isaiah. And he said it specifically in Luke 4:18. He gave us his mission. Say, Jesus can pour the oil of his Spirit into your heart and make you whole. That's 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23. Pray in Scripture. The prayers of Paul are inspired. That is, all of them, including this one in Ephesians 1. They're divinely inspired by the Holy Ghost. And like the whole of God's Word is our prayer guide, we have the full divine force and authentication to pray anything that's in Scripture that's according to the will of God. And God, we could say, is waiting for us to pray that. Pray His Word. I'm not talking about pray His Word so you can get everything you want in this life. The best thing to pray is, Lord, anoint me to die so you can live. And pray like John the Baptist, Lord, you must increase and I must decrease. That's a prayer declaration, it sounds like to me. Paul prays in light of, here in Ephesians 1, in light of and because of our relationship with Jesus Christ and our position with Him, as Brother David just mentioned, we're seated together in heavenly places in Christ. Chapter 2, verse 6 of this glorious book of Ephesians. We've been, notice verse 3 and 4 of the first chapter in summation. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. And it's according to His good pleasure that He's done these things. Verse 2 and 9, I love that. The good pleasure of God. God is good. It's not only great, He's good. Okay, His heart is to do you good. If you will coincide and adhere and consent to His will, as He stated in His Word, He will do you good all the days of your life and for all eternity. Verse 7, we're redeemed by the Son, right? Chosen of the Father. Verse 4, Ephesians 1, redeemed by the Son and sealed by the Holy Spirit, which is, verse 14, which is the earnest of our inheritance. Notice the word inheritance appears four times. It's on the readout in the book of Ephesians. Four times. We have an inheritance. And He's going to speak in this prayer of the inheritance of the saints in light. That's us. Amen. Verse 12 through 14, Jesus saved us out of the darkness and into His glorious light. Here in this first chapter, He speaks about that. All right, in verse 15, we read the prayer of Paul, beginning in verse 15. What does that say?
Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayer.
So Paul is thanking God for them. Wow, that's a great way to wake up in the morning. I don't know about you, but if I don't press my energy, if you will, out toward God and others, seeking Him, thanking Him, and praying for the beloved saints, especially those around me, where are you thoughts going to go if they aren't on God and others? Yeah, they're going to go on self. Is that going to be a happy or a miserable day? The mind of Christ is what? Philippians 2, 3 through 5. Let nothing be done through strife or vain glory, glory to ourselves. But in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And it goes on to talk about He came from heaven to earth, farthest trip ever taken, to the sin-cursed earth. He left the glory of the Father to come die for us. He put us before Him while we were yet sinners, and to give us the inheritance of the saints in light. So Paul did not cease to do what? Give thanks for the body of Christ. and make mention of them in their prayer. I love, we've talked about this before. I'm going to pencil in here Colossians 4:12, where we have the prayer of Epaphras, right? And what did he do? What did he pray? He prayed that the believers in Colossae would stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. Somebody says, well, I don't know what to pray for others. Well, a couple of things there. Pray that. Colossians 4:12. We got two real encouraging little posts on the site. Just look up the word EPAP. That's short for Epaphras. Put it in the search box, E-P-A-P, and it'll come up. And that will encourage you and give you ground, a track to run on biblically. And your knowledge of the Word of God is your prayer God, is your track to run on, right? And the more you grow in the knowledge of the Word of God, the more powerful your prayer life is, right? Because a man of knowledge increases strength. And that's Proverbs 24:5. I love that verse.
You don't have to wonder if you're praying the will of God. You know that you're praying the will of God.
Mm-hmm. Say it again, please. That was good.
You don't have to wonder if you're praying the will of God. You know you're praying the will of God when you pray His words.
Because the Word is the will of God, right? The Word of God is the will of God.
Yeah.
Excellent. Okay, so verse 17, sister, as we wind down here,
that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of His calling, and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power to us who believe, according to the working of His mighty power, which He wrought in Jesus Christ, when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under His feet, and gave Him to be the head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him that filleth all in all.
Amen. So we do pray together tonight as we close here, that God may give us the spirit of His body, the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, that we might know Him. John 17:3 and the Philippians 3:10, that I may know Him, as David was quoting earlier. Philippians 3:10, Paul said, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death. May the Lord open the eyes of our understanding, that they may be enlightened, that we may know what is the hope of His calling. And with the riches, God wants us to know this, otherwise Paul wouldn't have prayed it by the Spirit. What the riches of the glory of His inheritance. We have an inheritance. Read Revelation 21. We're going to be with the Lord in the New Jerusalem, and He is going to dwell with us. And when you really get that, and you stop and slow down and read that, you may have the same experience I did one time. The way it's worded right there in the beginning of Revelation 21. And that's just part of it. Amen. And what is the exceeding greatness of His power to us, or toward us, who believe according to the working of His mighty power, which He wrought. How did this all come about? What are all the blessings of God? Who are they all wrapped up in? Christ. Anyone who speaks of spiritual blessings or principles or anything else, divorced from the nail-scarred risen Savior, is completely deceived and needs to get saved, which He wrought in Christ. Remember, this book says in Christ, I believe it's either 12 or 14 times, this book alone, Ephesians, when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in heavenly places, and we're seated together with Him, and that's far above all principality and power and might and dominion, not only in distance, but in dominion and in power. The name of Jesus Christ is above all. And we ask that you do this in the life of each of your believers, even as Paul prayed it, in Jesus' name.
Well, brothers and sisters, it's been a blessing to spend these moments with you in the Word of God. And remember, there's hundreds of more Christ-centered, scripture-rich, edifying podcasts on safeguardyoursoul.com/audios. There's also a store page with several many books on there for your edification in Christ. They're all scripture-rich and Christ-centered. Also, tens of thousands of saints and sinners are being reached every every month, and your prayers are coveted for the fruitfulness and supply of this outreach. God be praised, by the way, for those who are supporting. And feel free to visit our donate page on the site, and you can use your debit card, PayPal, or Patreon, and you can become a monthly sustaining member if you choose to do so, and a gift of any amount is so appreciated. Part of this outreach is to equip and supply other ministering disciples across our great country and all over the world. And may God be praised that there's fruitfulness happening among His people and through His beloved saints, as we know that the return of our Lord Jesus Christ draws nigh. And we say together in the words of Revelation 22, "Even so, come, Lord Jesus." Amen.